Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected ulama, elders, brothers and our young ones, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the whole of mankind in the Quran, and Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. Every human being is engaged in different activities in this world. Every person has a different toil. Every human has different priorities. Since a person has come into this world, different aspirations. Some of us have prioritized this dunya, this material world. We engaged in it, we toil for it, and our day and night has become this material world. Others have realized their objective, and that is to acquire the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, to acquire Akhirat, and thus their toil is earning the pleasure of Allah, the obedience of Allah, following the tariqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, engaging in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus that is their toil. And there will be others that would desire the best of both the worlds, and in that way they would continue their toil. When we look into the lives of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had one singular aspiration, one singular desire, and their desire was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their desire was the acquisition of Jannah. Their desire was never to displease Allah, never to displease our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a part of a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Lil jannati abwab." Jannah has many doors. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives some examples. For the person or for the people of salah, du'iya min babis salah. After a person fulfills the fara'id of deen, a person performs salah, gives out his zakah, fasts in the month of Ramadan, fulfills the other obligations of deen, and then one engages in nawafil salat, then that person will be regarded as ahlus salah. When we look at the lives of the pious predecessors, for example, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his biography, It has been recorded that in the mid-morning he would perform up to 100 rakats of salah, a time when we are engaged in material pursuit, they will engage in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. One person says, once I entered the haram of Makkah, and in my heart, the desire had come that I observe a person perform a salah that is of a perfect order. I was behind the Maqam Ibrahim, and thus I saw a man come past me, and he goes towards the Maqam, and he begins his salah. And he was so engrossed, so engaged in the salah, the humility, the kind of salah, the posture, the way he stood, indicated that his engagement in his salah brought him a kind of elation and joy. I went up closer, and I could hear the murmur of his beginning the salah with Surah Al-Baqarah. And he continued, and I heard him completing the surah, and then he went into the next surah, Surah Al-Imran. And in that way, he completed that surah, and then he went into Surah An-Nisa, and like that into the next, and then the next, until in one single rakah, he had come to Surah An-Nas, thus completing the entire Quran in one single rakat. When I inquired from those around me, who is this personality? They showed surprise that I did not know him, and they informed me that he was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So such was the engagement in this salah. Then like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions other ibadat, the people who strive in the path of Allah in jihad, those that give out sadaqah, the ahlus sadaqah, the people that give out charities, then they will be called from the door of sadaqah. Now again we find that after fulfilling the faraid, the fard obligation, there are those individuals that have the passion of giving out. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. One interpretation, Allah Ta'ala speaks about that those who give their wealth for the love of Allah, one interpretation for the love of the poor, the recipients, one interpretation for the love of giving. Today the concept of giving is, if I have, I give. But when again we look into the lives of Sahaba, there were times when they did not have. Our philosophy of earning would be for expansion, for accumulation, for amassing, for survival. But Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum sometimes looked at earning in a different light. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes home. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha informs him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not partaken of any food for a number of days. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu decides that something needed to be done, but he himself had nothing to purchase or to give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes out in search of a job, and he finds a job at a Yahud to water his garden at a wage of one date for one bucket. And in that way, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu watered the garden with 17 buckets, earning 17 ajwa dates. Some of the muhaddithin have written, if it was an Ansari, if it was a Muslim, he would have said that you may eat whatever you want whilst you are on the premises, but this also was not the condition. 17 buckets, 17 dates, 17 ajwa. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu gets his wage and he takes 17 ajwa and he places it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees 17 dates, 17 ajwa, that Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes radiant, and as he partakes, he asks me, how did you acquire this? And I explained. Sometimes we ask people for du'as, and sometimes we carry out deeds by which people give out the du'as from their hearts. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu earn the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained the different doors of Jannah. Those who fast in abundance, then they will be called from the door of Rayyan. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, is it necessary for one person to be called from so many doors? In other words, one door is necessary for a person to enter into a place, even Jannah. The masjid has several doors. Several doors are open, but we can only enter from one door. So that was the nature of question from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Some of the commentators have expressed that what happens if a person has an attachment to several deeds? Would that be a person be called from several doors? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and he said, Abu Bakr, I have the hope that you will be that individual that will be called from all the doors of Jannah. As a matter of fact, when we look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama have written that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had narrated up to 181 ahadith speaking about the virtue of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu alone. And if we count the ahadith of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's virtue together with other sahaba, they would number up to 316. Now friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us that there are many deeds that a person can latch onto. For us to have the aspiration so that we can acquire the Jannah that Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. One is to be in this dunya, to earn and live in this world, but together with that, to have the aspiration for Jannah, to make Jannah our goal, to make Jannah our objective of our life. There was a young Sahabi that used to tend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Rabi'a ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was an amazing personality. Muhaddithin have written that this Rabi'a would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so closely attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would step into his room, Sayyiduna Rabi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would lie at the doorstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waiting for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to step out. So when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would step out, he would sense Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming out, and so he will get up and again he will be with him, minimizing lost opportunities to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would also make available to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the water for wudu, even at the time of tahajjud. Now it wasn't a simple matter in those days to open the tap and to fill a jug and have the water ready. There were no taps. One would have to make the arrangements from wells, etc. And this Sahabi would go through all of that in an enthusiasm to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to prepare his miswak, etc. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pleased with this Sahabi, and the implication of the conversation between him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's joy, his elation, and again, one is to ask for du'as and one is to earn the du'as. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Rabi'ah, the implied meaning, that what are your desires, what are your aspirations, put them forward so that I may plead to Allah Ta'ala. So Sayyidina Rabi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, being a younger Sahabi, he does not look at material pursuits, he does not have material aspirations. He would have known that there were others whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given dua, such dua of barakah of this world, that in the latter part of their lives, people said that the dua of barakah was of such a nature that if the person touched sand, he touched earth, it would have turned into gold. He would have known about all of that. But Sayyiduna Rabi'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu turns away from material aspirations, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made known his aspiration, my desire is your companionship in Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to reiterate, is that all? Is there nothing else? And again the reiteration, nothing else, your companionship in Jannah. There is a singular aspiration in the heart and in the desire of a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith it comes that there was that Sahabi in the kitabs of tafsir, it was Thawban, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that began to think that in this world we have opportunities of being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what would happen in the akhirat? So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your maqam, your status will be very high. Where would we be? We do not know. So would we get a glimpse of your Mubarak face? Would we have the opportunity of companionship? That was The concern that was the aspiration of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How are we going to be with you in Jannat? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu once addressed his student Atta ibn Abi Ribah that do you want to see a woman of Jannat? Now our idea of a woman of Jannah, a damsel of Jannah, we have a different notion, a different idea. And of course Atta ibn Abi Ribah responded in the positive, and he indicated towards a woman that hailed from Africa. And then he explained that this was a woman that would frequently fall unconscious, and once she requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua that Allah ta'ala grants her a cure from the illness. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, probably because of wahi that would have come down, gave her the option, cure in this world or Jannat in the Akhirat. The woman spontaneously, unhesitatingly responded Jannat. But then she also said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in those days women would wear sheets as coverings, what we will call chadar. She said, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes when I would fall, my body uncovers. So make dua when I fall, it does not uncover. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who said that thereafter when she fell unconscious or fainted, the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been answered, that her body would not uncover. This Atta ibn Abi Ribah, he also origin was that of Africa. His father was from Africa that went to Yemen, and he was born in Yemen, but he was African in origin. An amazing personality, a person that was physically challenged. He was a slave, blind, lived in Makkah, owned by a woman, and he also taught this ummah the very great lesson of aspiration and desires. Being a slave in Makkah, he served his owner very diligently, dividing his time into three. That on many occasions we feel that we cannot free ourselves from our material slavery of this world. He showed us the lesson of how to do it. He served her, satisfying the conditions of his slavery to her. That was the one part of his life, of his time. The second was a third of his life he had given in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third of his time he had spent in the pursuit of the knowledge of deen. And he was so accomplished in the knowledge of deen that when the owner had seen his desire for deen and ibadat, she freed him. And then the time had come when he had served as the mufti of Makkah for a period of 20 years. Whatever his inabilities were, the physical challenges that he had did not hold him back, and he was so well accomplished that a time in the Haram of Makkah, the great Sahabi, Sayyidun Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had been given the title by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a'lamuhum bil manasik, the most learned insofar as the rules of Hajj and Umrah were concerned, was in the Haram of Makkah, when people would go to him and ask him the rules of Hajj and Umrah. He would say that when Ata ibn Abi Ribah is in the Haram of Makkah, how dare do you come to me, go to Ata. He was certified by none other than a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a life of 100 years, Allah had given him the opportunity of going for 70 Hajj, standing on the plains of Arafat for a period of 70 years, 70 Hajj. He made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing out the aspiration, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah. O Allah, I seek your rida, I seek your pleasure. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that there are two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept makhfi, Allah has concealed from our eyes. One is rida, Allah's pleasure. No human being knows which deed of ours is accepted from Allah. The example of that woman, as promiscuous as she could have been, described by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prostitute, taking off her leather sock, putting it into the well, drawing out water and giving the dog. At that time, she had not known it was accepted by Allah. And brothers, if you and I were standing there, we would have also not known it was accepted by Allah. We could have given 1,000 wells throughout the world, and we would have thought our deeds would have been accepted and hers is not accepted because of her ill deeds. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hers was accepted, she was forgiven despite her ill deeds. And the second is wilayat. Who is a saint, who is a friend of Allah, that is not known. So, O Allah, I ask you for your acceptance, I ask you for your pleasure and Jannah. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ سَخَتِكَ وَالنَّارِ. And O Allah, I seek your refuge from your displeasure and the fire of Jahannam. For 70 years on the plains of Arafat, Ata ibn Abi Ribah left this legacy for us. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person that beseeches Allah, that asks Allah three times for Jannat, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah. Allah Ta'ala gives Jannah the power to hear, and Jannah then beseeches Allah, O Allah, grant this person Jannat, grant him entry into me. That person that asks Allah Ta'ala protection from the fire of Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will grant Jahannam the power to hear and the power to beseech Allah Ta'ala that, O Allah, protect this person from me. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept our amal, our deeds. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant us all Jannatul Firdaus, the marhum of our families and the whole ummah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa sallallahu ala Nabi al-Kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.